Good morning, everyone. My name's Brendan. I'm one of the student ministers here at church. I'm normally at the 9 a.m. congregation, so it's my pleasure to come and visit you guys and preach this shocking passage, really. Like, you might have been shocked by Jesus' words. Right at the end, he says, "Let those who have ears to hear listen." The crowds that day, Jesus was saying, "Listen, have ears to hear." And I don't think it's because the passage is hard to understand, but hard to accept. So let's pray that God might give us ears to hear these words today. Father, thank you so much for speaking to us so clearly. Please give us ears to hear Jesus' words. Amen. Well, you might have heard a story of a couple who went to Florida to go to Disney World. I've never been to Disney World. They went for a holiday to have a fun time, and they went to a restaurant. And really, really sadly, the restaurant served them food, which gave the wife an anaphylactic reaction. They had told the restaurant of her allergies, but they served the food anyway. And tragically, she died from that food. And rightly so, the husband, Jeffrey, he was really upset. And so he tried to sue Disney for what they did. But when he attempted to sue Disney, they actually came back and said, "Hey, when you signed up for a Disney Plus trial, 1 month trial of the streaming service, and you ticked the box, I agree with the terms and conditions, there was a clause hidden in the pages in the small print that said, if you ever have a dispute with us, we're going to settle it outside the court." Isn't that tragic? That was terrible. Jeffrey had no idea what signing that little box would mean for him. Don't we hate when this kind of thing happens? When people hide things or try to trick you into signing up for something that you might not have signed up for otherwise? Can I tell you that Jesus is not like this? He is not like this at all. Jesus, he doesn't hide anything. He doesn't trick anyone. He tells you up front what following him will involve. See, if you decide to be a Christian, Jesus lays it all out. And so clearly that in today's passage, we're shocked at the details that he gives us. He lays out there are only two terms that you need to agree with to be a Christian. We learned the first one last week, that following Jesus costs nothing. It's a free gift that you receive. And Jesus actually says that it's really important that you understand this first, that following me is free. It costs nothing. It's so important because the kingdom of God is only for people who realize they need a savior. You might remember last week it was the problem of the Pharisees who thought that they deserved to be in the kingdom of God. But them thinking that they deserve to be them is what disqualified them from being there. See, following Jesus requires that we realize there's nothing we can offer to be accepted by God. It costs nothing. It's a gift. But the second term is this. Following Jesus costs everything. It costs your whole life. If you follow Jesus, it means you no longer live for yourself, but for him, in everything. I love how Paul, the Apostle Paul, he summarizes these twin truths in 2 Corinthians 5. It's up on the screen. It says, "Jesus died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised." See, Jesus died for all, that you might live. Now, that's free. It costs us nothing and cost Jesus everything on the cross. That's his grace. Becoming a Christian is free. But now that we live, we no longer live for ourselves, but for him. We live as Christians for Jesus who died for us. Everything. Your relationships, your possessions, your time, your ambitions, your job, everything is now for him. Has anyone seen the kind of circus act, the plate spinning? They have maybe 5 or 6 sticks with plates on them, and they try and keep all of them spinning, running around from plate to plate. Sometimes that's what life feels like, right? Really frantic, keeping everything spinning. You might think that becoming a Christian is adding an extra plate to keep spinning amongst a busy life. Maybe the cost is being 10 to 15% busier. But this couldn't be further from the truth. This is not Christianity. When you decide to follow Jesus, you don't just add another plate to spin. Your whole life is for Jesus. In today's passage, Jesus, he speaks to a large crowd of people, probably thousands of people listening to Jesus. And he says, you might think you're my disciple because you hang around me or you've even traveled a long way to listen to me. But if I'm just another thing in your life amongst many other things, another plate to keep on spinning, then you cannot be my disciple. And Jesus' words were proved true. When he went to the cross, how many from the crowd stood by him? See, the crowd had to decide whether they were willing to stand with the one who was mocked or whether they weren't willing at all. See, the crowd that day, it was full of fans who were willing to watch from a distance, kind of spectate and listen to Jesus as someone who was interesting to them. They were fans, but not followers, who were willing to follow Jesus even to the cross. See, today, in the clearest and most confronting way, Jesus says that following me will cost you everything. And it's a good thing that Jesus tells us this. Remember, he doesn't hide anything or try to trick us into following him. He actually wants you to know up front what it will cost, so that when a test comes, you are ready to stand with Jesus. Jesus says, unless you hate your family, bear your cross, and renounce all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Oh, we're going to go through Jesus' words one by one and think about the first one to begin with. Hate your family. Take a look at Jesus' words in verse 26. These are Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus' words. He says in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, just put yourself in the crowd that day. Can you imagine the tension? There were probably a lot of people who were there with family. You know, someone looks to their right and sees their wife, and then looks down and sees their kids, and then listens to Jesus say, you must hate these precious people to be my disciple. It was really awkward for me at 9 a.m. preaching this sermon because I looked out and I could see many of my family members looking back. My wife and I, we have a friend who, in late high school, she became a Christian. Her family are not Christian, and they were not pleased with her decision. That made life tricky for her, and she got more and more serious about following Jesus until one day she came home, and all of her stuff was outside, and she wasn't allowed in anymore. Her family kicked her out of her home for following Jesus. And in this moment, she had to decide whether to stick with Jesus and follow him or follow her family. It was so obvious that she could not do both. Jesus says, unless you hate your family, you cannot be my disciple. I'm certain that in a room this size, there's many amongst us who have experienced something like this. You've made decisions to follow Jesus and it's impacted your family life. There have been consequences for you. Whether big or small, take heart, because Jesus tells you to expect this kind of thing. And keep following Jesus, no matter the cost. Jesus speaks very strongly. He uses shocking language. He uses the word hate. He uses that intentionally to shock us so that we might be ready if the day comes where our allegiance is tested. that our priority might be to serve and live for Jesus above all else. See, it's really clear in the Bible that Christians, more than anyone, are supposed to honor their family and care for their family. Even those who are antagonistic to the faith, we always act in kindness, but never compromising our faith. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must be ready to put me even above your own family. Or second, Jesus says, my disciples bear their cross. My disciples bear their cross. Look at verse 27, what Jesus says next. Verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, I think it's really hard for us to see how shocking these words would have been. I actually think these words would have been more confronting than Jesus saying, hate your family. These words are more shocking than Jesus saying, hate your family. Over the last 2,000 years of Christian history and Christian influence in the world, the cross has moved from a symbol of torture and humiliation, which is what it once was, to a symbol of love. And so the shock of these words don't hit us as hard as it would have to them. See, back then, to bear your cross was to carry two heavy beams of wood on your shoulder to the place where you would hang on them naked, being mocked and humiliated in front of people. Jesus is asking a lot of his followers to bear their cross, to take up a death sentence for him, a humiliating one, to give their lives for him in every way. But we must remember that Jesus never demands more of us than he has done first. Jesus gave his life for us, and so we give our life for him. And I think what's particularly on view in this image of bearing your cross is suffering and persecution. See, as Christians, we don't look for suffering or we don't enjoy suffering, but we do expect it. It's actually one of the few things that we're promised to expect in this world is suffering. We've been going through 2 Timothy in Gospel Teams. I've really been enjoying it. In a couple of weeks, you'll get to chapter 3 where Paul says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He promises persecution. That's what we're promised to experience as Christians. I don't know how many of you have heard prosperity gospel teaching, or maybe you've been impacted by that yourself. Maybe that's what you've been taught in the past. Prosperity gospel teaching teaches that if you have faith, you'll be blessed with health and wealth and happiness, comfort and pleasure in this life. And if you don't get these things, you don't have strong enough faith. Can I tell you, that's a lie? That's false teaching. That's not what Jesus teaches us. Jesus teaches the opposite in some ways. Paul just said, if you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. See, the gospel message is offensive to the world. It's offensive because the gospel says, because of your sin, God is right to punish you. That's the gospel we believe. God is right to punish us because of our sin. It's offensive, and so we should expect to be persecuted. If you've never experienced any kind of persecution for your faith, it might be worth asking why that is. Because if we're living for Jesus, we should expect to experience persecution in big or small ways. Whether that's mocking, being mocked from colleagues or excluded from gatherings, or even partiality in job opportunities. In many parts of the world, persecution is physical. See, Jesus says, unless you are ready to suffer for following me, you cannot be my disciple. And you'll know this too well. If a time has ever come up in your life where you're persecuted for your faith, you have to make a decision. Will you stand with Jesus and be mocked for it? Or will you do something else? Well, finally, Jesus says, disciples renounce their possessions. A few years ago, I followed a quantity surveyor around for a week. He was incredible. His job was filled with so much precision. He had to calculate the cost of big building projects, and he had to know the volume of concrete that would be used. He had to work out the price of floor finishes and even the length of water pipes. His job was to count the cost so that these big companies would know whether they had enough to finish the project or not. They needed to know that before they started, right? And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you should count the cost. You should know what it's going to cost so that when you start, you can keep on going. He tells these two parables that we read out that make this kind of point, an encouragement to count the cost before making a decision. The first one's about a man who wants to build a tower, and Jesus says, of course he's going to sit down and count what it costs him before starting. And the second one is about a king who's deciding whether to go to war or not with another king. And Jesus says, of course he's going to sit down and count the cost first and work out whether he can go to war or needs to ask for peace. And in the same way, Jesus says, if you're deciding to follow me, you need to sit down, spend some time to consider the cost, and follow me, so that you won't be surprised by what happens and you won't give up when it becomes difficult. Now, we have to be really clear what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying, take your time. He's not saying, take your time to make this decision. And we know that because in the second parable, there's an army of 20,000 soldiers coming. That's an urgent decision. This king has to decide right now what he's going to do. Is he going to go to war or ask for peace? It's urgent. If you're working out whether to follow Jesus or not, do not delay. Do not delay to think about it. Sit down and consider the cost. There's nothing more urgent. Jesus may return any day. And as an aside for us, when we think about sharing the gospel with people, we shouldn't hide what the Christian life will be like. Sometimes we're tempted to not talk about the kinds of things that people would have to give up if they became a Christian, or the kinds of suffering that they might face. But Jesus wants people to know what the cost is, so they can decide to follow him knowing full well. And so that shapes how we share the gospel with people. Because Jesus tells us that following him will cost everything. Everything. Our life is now lived for him. And look at how he puts it in verse 33. Verse 33, it's the last of the shocking statements that Jesus makes. He says in verse 33, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. See, whether you have a lot or not much at all, it all belongs to Jesus. It actually makes the calculation a lot more easier than for my quantity surveying friend. It's the same answer every time. It's everything. It costs everything we have. See, it's not that however much you give to church, that belongs to God, and the rest is yours. That's the kind of plate-spinning Christianity, where Jesus gets one more plate. Our whole life is his. Whatever we give to church is God's, but the rest is his as well. Because when you renounce all that you have, you're saying nothing belongs to me. I'm no longer an owner of my stuff, but a steward. A steward who serves my master. What is the thing that you have that's most precious to you? It belongs to Jesus. What is the thing that you have that's most mundane to you? That belongs to Jesus as well. What's the thing that is most useful to you in your daily life? That belongs to Jesus as well. Please hear Jesus' words. He says, if you do not renounce all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. And I think this is a truth that proves itself over the test of time. Sadly, I've seen too often a slow drift away from Jesus. It's not normally in one moment or instant when it happens, but a slow drift over time. It even happened to one of Paul's ministry partners, Demas. Paul and Demas, they worked together, they did ministry together. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll get to it in a few weeks, Paul says, "Demas deserted me because he loved this present world." See, Demas was following Jesus, but he hadn't renounced all his possessions to Jesus. He still loved this present world. He loved all the things that he had. And because he was holding on to them, he couldn't hold on to Jesus. Following Jesus cost everything. Jesus says, unless you hate your family, bear your cross, and renounce your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Now, you might be thinking this isn't a very persuasive pitch to follow Jesus. You might be thinking the cost is too high. Why on earth would I follow Jesus if it cost me everything? But the cost of not following Jesus is even greater. It's being thrown out. Jesus doesn't stop saying confronting things. See, we deserve to be thrown out because of our sin. It's the point that Jesus makes right at the end of the passage when he talks about salt. It seems like a little bit of a random add-on, but it's actually explaining everything Jesus has just said. See, in verse 34, he says, "Salt is only good if it stays salty." We know this, right? Imagine if you had some salt and it wasn't salty. What would you do with it? You'd probably throw it out. It wasn't useful. In the same way, Jesus says, if you are following me without following me, living like me and for me, then you are not my disciple at all. You will be thrown out. See, the cost of following Jesus is high, but the cost of not following him is even higher. I've been really confronted by this passage as I've prepared this week, and I hope you have too. Jesus wants us to be confronted by it. But one of the things that I've come to love is what happens next. See, Jesus says, anyone who has ears to hear, listen. Please, listen to what I've just said. And I can imagine that many people in the crowd that day, they would have stopped listening to Jesus. They would have thought the cost is too high. I've come to see him, but I'm not going to give my life to him. Of course I'm not. But there was one group who came closer. One group who came closer to listen to Jesus. See, out of the thousands there, we're told in the next verse, chapter 15, verse 1, the sinners came close to listen to Jesus. After all Jesus said, the sinners came to listen to him. Because it's those who realize they need a Savior who will be willing to give up everything to live for him. It's only when you realize how much you need and how much Jesus has given you that you'll count the cost and run to him, to follow him with your life and with everything. When we realize how much we've been given by Jesus, it makes so much sense to give everything for him. Jesus died for you that you might live. That's his free invitation into the kingdom which you don't naturally belong to. Following Jesus, it costs nothing. It's accepting the gift of Jesus. But those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Following Jesus costs everything. It means giving our whole life for him. So please count the cost and follow the one who died for you. Let's pray. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own family, bear his own cross, or renounce all his possessions, he cannot be my disciple. Dear Father, thank you for freely giving us all that we need in the Lord Jesus. Give us the humility to accept salvation freely, and give us the strength and wisdom to give up everything we have to follow Jesus. Amen.